వాత్సల్యామృతవర్షిణీం సుమధురం సంకీర్తనాలాపినీం శ్యామాంగీ మధుసిక్తసూక్తిం అమృతానందాత్మికామీశ్వరీ నిత్యం నిరంతరానందం చిద్ఘనం బ్రహ్మ నిర్భయం శ్రుత్యా తర్కానుభూతిభ్యాం అహమస్మ్యద్వయం సదా. అమ్మేనిన్ పదతాదేవీన్ అభయమన్నోదీర్మీయే చెన్నే త్రిక్కర పల్లవా తొడుగీం స్నేహామృతం తూవీం సమ్మోదత్తోడు సాంత్వనంగలరుళం తేజస్విని సద్గురు బ్రహ్మానందరసంబళిన్య పురుళే నీ తన్నయాన ఆశ్రయం బ్రహ్మానందరసంబళిన్య పురుళే నీ తన్నయానాశ్రయం బ్రహ్మానందరసంబళిన్య పురుళే నీ తన్నయానాశ్రయం. Yeah, since we completed with the 12th chapter of Gita, so we'll start another chapter, the 7th chapter of Gita. So it's titled Jnana Vijnana Yogam. So it's a very important chapter. As per many people have spoken about the classification or not classification, categorization of the 18 chapters of Gita into 3 sets of 6. So the first 6 speak about Tvam, from Tattvamasi Mahavakyam. First 6 speak about Tvam, or the individual. So first 6 chapters Krishna speaks about Arjuna, how Arjuna can control, how Arjuna can change his actions, how Arjuna can overpower or overcome actions, get knowledge, gain peace of mind, sannyasam, etc. So that is Tvam. And then the second 6, Krishna basically speaks about Tat, or the Samashti, Supreme Being, various aspects of the Supreme Being. And then the last 6 speak about Asi, or Oneness. So 7 to 12 chapter basically speaks about Ishvara. That means the perspective or the holistic approach. So this is not something that can really be, we can say something or put that or keep such a categorization, but it may not be fully valid or completely valid. But if that categorization is taken into account, then the 7th chapter is what begins explanation about Brahman, not Atman but Brahman, or holistic approach. So in the 7th chapter we find that Krishna speaks a lot about the various concepts, various things in life. So he speaks about a variety of topics. One of the important one is about what is, or how the Supreme Being is related to the entire world. What is the relation between the world and Brahman? So that is one topic that is being discussed. And then the important part of like the various bhaktas of Ishvara, that is also explained in 7th chapter. And then during the end, like some other things are also explained. So that categorization might make sense in this part. So there is another categorization as well. The first 6 chapters speak about karma. Second 6, or the 7th to 12th chapter, those chapters speak about bhakti, whereas 13 to 18 speak about jnana. That may not be fully valid, even as the other one is also not valid. This also may not be exactly valid. But if we consider the categorization of Tattvamasi, then the 7th chapter is very important, because it is where Krishna starts the transitioning of explanation about Arjuna, Arjuna's inner self, Arjuna's inner equipments, and then goes on to the the better picture or the larger view, as terms use, larger picture of the world, of Brahman itself. So though Brahman is our own self, but while speaking about the self, we can speak about as to how to realize the self internally. So realization has basically two aspects to it. So this is what is being explained in one of the chapters of Gita, the sixth chapter of Gita. Krishna speaks about it, and it is the same as Ishavasya Upanishad says, yastu sarvani bhutani atmanyeva anupashyati sarvabhuteshu cha atmanam tato na vijugupsati. So yahatu sarvani bhutani, sarvani bhutani, all beings, atmanyeva anupashyati, a person who sees all the beings in the self and the self in all beings, such a person doesn't get hatred. So the same thing Krishna says in the sixth chapter of Gita, sarvabhutastam atmanam sarvabhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yukta atma sarvatra samadarshinah. A person who sees the self in all and all in the self, such a person has one vision of oneness. He sees oneness everywhere, and that is, his mind is endowed with yoga, yoga of samatvam, which Krishna himself explained in the 12th chapter, as we learned the last few shlokas, 17th and the 18th shloka, about samam shatrau cha mitre cha. So that shloka, that speaks about oneness, vision of oneness, which is the same as yoga samatvam. So that aspect, like, though we find duality in the world, the duality can be removed or should be removed in two ways. One is by seeing, it's called the individual and the total. So individual in total and total in individual. So basically those, it's not a two-step process, it's one step. Seeing one entity everywhere, but when we see oneness or one entity everywhere, we can see something else. For example, a lover might see his love everywhere. So some devotee might see Krishna everywhere. Some other devotee might see Amma everywhere. So a vision or trying to see things can be different. So the scriptures as well as various acharyas speak about different views or different visions as per different people. So a thief is always like, he'll always be aware of his surroundings. He'll be on the alert, because for him, if he meets a new person, he'll immediately think, okay, this might be a policeman. And a policeman thinks the opposite. So depending on what we see, we can see oneness in the entire world, but it depends on what we see. So that entity which we see everywhere, that has to come back to our own self. Because duality, like when we see oneness everywhere, that means like basically we see an object everywhere and then we see that object. So the difference between I, who am seeing the object everywhere, and the object is obviously there. So that difference has to vanish. That difference has to vanish by seeing that, or by having or including I as part of the entire world. So that's the easy way to see or include individual in total and total in individual. Simple way is see oneness everywhere. What is that everywhere? That everywhere includes me as well. So that's the easy way of doing. But if that is not done, like if we see a particular form everywhere, then the form has to merge onto the formless. And when it merges onto the formless, our existence also has to merge into the formless. So that is where when seeing oneness, like generally people see one thing everywhere, but they forget to include themselves. So, but in devotees, we can find that devotees who are deep into devotion, what would happen is they themselves will merge onto that particular form. So that is That means their individual becomes one with the total, and the total vanishes on to that one individual entity which alone exists. So in a way, like Atman, or the Atman becomes merged with the form, which is all-pervasive form, and that all-pervasive form merges on to Brahman, rather than direct link. So this has to happen, whether we know it, whether we do it, knowingly or unknowingly, this has to happen in realization that a person sees himself everywhere and everything in himself. So these two aspects are required, definitely required. So till the sixth chapter, Krishna basically deals with Arjuna as an individual, telling Arjuna as to how to do karma, how you can be this, how can you can do that. In between, truth about what is present everywhere is also there. Many places he all vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunijayivashvapage cha pandita samadarshinah. The fifth chapter Krishna says that in a brahmana who has vidya vinayam, who has knowledge as well as humility, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini. Gavi means cow, hastini in an elephant. Shuni chaiva shvapake cha shuni, dog, shvapake. Shvapaka means dog eater. So in all these people, pandita samadarshinaha, a learned person sees oneness everywhere. So but like when Vedanta says that everything is just one entity, see one everywhere, that means ideally there the individual also has to merge. So it's okay, like if we don't remember this aspect, it will automatically be there. If we, whether we see oneness everywhere or whether we see oneness everywhere, we see ourself or some form everywhere, or we say that I alone am there, the world is non-existent. Non-existent means where? Non-existent in me. So that is totality in individual. So whether we follow one aspect or the other, if we go deep into it, both the aspects will be there. But in the seventh chapter, Krishna speaks about basically shifts from the individual Arjuna to the world's perspective, about the world, about what the world is, how the world is. So is it really required? Like, should I know about the world? We have to know, because if our attention was just about ourselves, okay, if I am bothered about just me, okay, I want this, and if I am just bothered about me, then there is no need of knowing the world. But when I say I am bothered about me, there itself we bring in dependency of the world. We pull in the world there, because I say, oh, I am a self-centered person. No, I am an egoistic, self-centered person. So, I don't care about the world. Do you really not care about the world? A self-centered person is one who wants himself to be recognized. Recognized where? In the world. Amidst the world. So, that is already there. It's always there. So, the world is always there. Therefore, knowledge of the world, knowledge about the world is very essential. A person cannot just go to a forest or sit inside and say, okay, I am the self, I don't care about anything else. That cannot happen, because it will require a lot of intellectual conviction to ignore the entire world. And if a person ignores the entire world, that itself means that he knows about the world, the nature of the world, therefore he is able to ignore it. People who just say, okay, I ignore the entire world, I don't care about the world. They really do care about the world. They care about not caring the world. So the world still is something that matters to them. But if we look at Ramana Maharshi, people who never claim that they bother about the world, then he never bothered about the world. He wasn't bothered about the world, because he already knew about that the world is only an illusion, it's not there. So I don't really care. But generally, when a person says, I don't care about the world, unless that person is a realized person, you can know for sure that the person cares about the world, definitely. So knowledge about the world is very essential for for us to be content, to be happy. So happiness is the final goal, as we discuss in the 12th chapter of Gita. Happiness is the final goal of life. That is the ultimate goal. And that is the goal that nobody really cares about vision of oneness or knowledge. I know the entire four Vedas. I know the 64 Melakarta Ragas. I can do Alapanam, can compose in them, nobody cares. I can cook very good food, nobody really cares. What a person really wants in life is not any of those, it is just Anandam. Vision of oneness is just a way to get that Anandam, that's it. So what really matters at the end of the day or at the end of this birth is whether I am happy, whether I can be happy. So that is what Amma's message or Amma's Amma's purpose of today being Amma's birthday. The very purpose of Amma's birth is to take us to that state where we say, okay, I am content, I am happy, I am peaceful, I don't need anything else. So that is what Amma wants us to, or Amma wants us to be taken to, or that is the level where Amma wants to take us. So that is what she also says, that like at any point of time a person should be able to live peacefully. And all these celebrations, Amma celebrates almost all festivals, including Christmas and other festivals as well. So what is the use of all those celebrations? So some people might think, I don't want to quote, maybe Parul might think, why is Amma spending so much money on his celebration and all? Amrita Varsham, it was a huge, like, millions of people, so much amount of money, why spend all this? Can't they use it for social service? So somebody might think, people might think, but why is Amma willing to do this? We know that Amma came from a family which didn't have much money. They were very poor, below average, it's below the poverty line, much below the poverty line. So Amma knows. So, and she is very careful about spending as well. But then why does Amma allow her devotees and disciples to celebrate? That is because at least through that celebration, people will be happy. So that is the purpose, or the very purpose of Amma's birth is to make us happy or give us the bliss that is always there with her. So when we celebrate, when we go to Amritapuri, or when Amma comes, like we go to New York or any other place, we go, we meet Amma, we get darshan, we look around, people, everybody is happy. We hear two beautiful bhajans, Amma says, Amma cracks jokes, we can look at Amma. So what we get out of that celebration is that we become, at least temporarily, we become happy. So happiness is the final, the very purpose of Amma's birth, and it is the, like, it is what really matters for a person is happiness. Whether it is through vision of oneness or something else, whether it is through drugs, that's also fine. That is the reason why you may think, like, why do people take into drugs? Why do people drink? Why do people take drugs? Well, it's because they want happiness. They're not getting it the right way. Therefore, try out the wrong way. So they know, like, people know that it is not the right thing to do, but still they do it because they want happiness. So happiness is the ultimate goal of life. And that happiness can be attained only when we know the nature of the world. So again, do we really need to know the nature of the world? We need to, because we are part of the world. So as Ramana Maharshi says, is the world in you or you are in the, is the world in you or you are in the world? Generally we find ourselves in the world, but the world is in us. Like the dream world is in the dreamer, that is the real nature. But as long as we find ourselves in the world matters quite a lot to us. So knowledge about the world is very important. So that, like, knowledge in the 7th to 12th chapter, Krishna speaks about the world in many beautiful ways. So one of the ways he says is Anityam Asukam Lokam. It's a very famous shloka in the 9th chapter. So So, but in this shloka, Krishna gives as to how that can be implemented. Anityam. Oh, this world, Jagan Mithya. Jagan Mithya might seem very easy for the intellect, for the time being, to accept. Oh, I don't want to see oneness. Like, Jagat is Mithya. That might seem very easy, very simple, but it's like telling, when I see water in desert, there's no water. Yes, that is the simplest way. The direct way is, the world is not there. That's the direct way. And Gaudapada also says, Prapancho, Yadi Vidyeda, Nivartedana, Samshayaha. If the world exists, it will definitely vanish because Maya Matram Idam Dvaitam. This Dvaitam is Maya Matram. But can we really do that? That's the question. A person who has a lot of conviction in his intellect that, okay, the world doesn't exist, he has used a lot of spiritual sadhana to strengthen the mind, lot of mananam, shravana mananam, in order to strengthen the intellectual conviction. Such a person alone will be able to see the world and still say that, okay, it is mithya. Else what would happen is, it's like telling, we are not realized, so we don't have happiness. So we are striving in the spiritual path, but there is some easy way to get happiness. It's like telling, seeking happiness is like a thirsty person. Thirsty person is going in the desert. So he sees water there. He knows, his intellect knows that there is no water. But he sees like kind of ocean, waves are, high tide waves are there. He sees it. When he sees it, that experience, external experience, that world changes his intellect, or it overpowers the intellectual conviction, thereby the person starts running. Why? Because there is no happiness. So therefore, it does, like Jagan Mithya might seem very easy, the water is not there might seem very easy, but it's not that easy to implement or practice when the real test comes. So an easier approach is trying to slowly convince the mind as to, water is seen in desert. Well, if water is seen in the desert, water is not unreal, but water has to be desert, definitely. It has to be desert. Definitely it has to be desert. Such a conviction, or trying to see water as desert instead of saying water is not there, is an easier way. Because both are the same thing, but water is not there means like we are just negating something, whereas water is desert means we are not negating water, we are just saying that the water I see is desert. Negation is always very tough than just accepting like or seeing things in a different way. So Jagan Mithya might seem very easy, very simple, but it's not that simple. But if we are able to slowly see the world as Brahman, that is Samashti Bhavam, seeing the world as Brahman, knowing that the world is temporary, maybe Mithya, but still it is Brahman. If we are able to follow logic, proper logic, and slowly strengthen the intellect, after that, even when we see water in desert, we'll not negate the water, we'll say, water is just something seen in desert, so it is desert only, I'm sure. So it's the same thing. It might, for the intellect, it might seem, both are the same thing. Jagat Mithya and Jagat Brahman, both are almost same, but there's a difference when we try to implement it. If we don't feel that there is a difference, then it's fine, there is no difference at all. It's up to a seeker. So in this chapter, Krishna gives like various examples or analogies to, and goes down to the extent of saying certain things are Ishvara, or this is Ishvara, that is Ishvara. So it's a way of telling, you are Ishvara, you are Ishvara, you are Ishvara, I am Ishvara. Which means everybody is Ishvara. But when we say like everything is Brahman, people will not feel like content. Their intellect needs more answer. How can this be? Is this Ishvara? Is that Ishvara? Aham kratur aham yajnaha swadha aham aham aushadam. In the 9th chapter, Krishna continues that. So that is the reason why this chapter may be like about tat, about the world. So aham kratuhu. Oh, Bhagavan, you are yajna, you are yajnas. I accept that you are yajna, aham kratur, aham yajna. But what about the yajnas where cows are killed? How can they do it? How can they kill cows? This is not possible. That cannot be you. Aham kraduru, I am sin. If there is any yajna where people, like even people are killed, know for sure that also is me. So everything irrespective of dharma and adharma, irrespective of good and bad, everything is me only. So the moment we try to differentiate between, okay, what is Ishvara, what is not Ishvara, Dvaitam comes in. Of course, Advaitam is only for bhavana, not for karma. Bhava Advaitam sada kuryat, karma Advaitam na karhichit, Advaitam trishulogeshu na guruna sah. So, bhava Advaitam, bhavana Advaitam. Advaitam, can you really follow Advaitam externally? No. I cannot change you into Brahman because you are not Brahman. The name and form is not Brahman, it can never be Brahman. But name and form, I can imagine the name and form, know that the name and form is Brahman. So that is an easy way to do. So bhava advaitam, bhavana advaitam. Advaitam is in the mind. Karma advaitam na karhishit. In karma, advaitam cannot be followed. Maybe that's the reason why Shanti couldn't understand actions. Like we learned in Awakened Children about Amritsar Rupananda and other Swamijis unable to comprehend Amma's actions because it's impossible. Krishna's actions, we may think, oh, Krishna, he's Ishvara. But what did he do? He cheated in many places, 10,000 wives, that is against the Shastra. But still people start learning and they'll say, oh, you shouldn't take sannyas, right? It's against the Shastra. Then what about Krishna? Nobody will ask you. Oh, that is Bhagavan. That is a territory you shouldn't touch. He has like immunity. That's the word is used in thing, court proceedings and all. He has immunity, so nobody can touch him. Everybody else, he can. So that's what would happen. So Krishna's actions, we cannot comprehend his actions. His actions were totally against. It might appear as if like whatever he thought, his actions were entirely against it, because in action we cannot have Advaitam. Action itself means there is Dvaitam. Advaitam can only be in the mind. So when we say that, okay, everything is one, everything is essentially one, that's how Kalamata beautifully says, essentially everything is Brahman. Okay, if we are bold enough, we can go one step further and say essentially. How essentially? Because it is Namarupam. Namarupam is just temporary. If we are worried about, or if we cannot comprehend Namarupam being temporary and not something which has reality, then we can go to a goldsmith. The Shastra says, or Kulala. Kulala is a potter. So, or go to the potter and he will tell us like whether Namarupam is real or not. He'll convince us that, okay, it is real. If he can, he hasn't learned any scriptures like us. So if he can understand, if a goldsmith can understand, then we can also understand. Just that we have to extend it from gold to the entire world. So that is the next level. If we, essentially everything is one, Namarupam, it's temporary, it's there, let it be there, it's fine. But in the mind, I'll see oneness everywhere. And in the mind, I see oneness everywhere. What oneness? Oneness in the entire world. So Dvaitam merges or becomes Advaitam in my mind. How can Dvaitam become Advaitam in my mind unless my mind is strong? So that is where Krishna starts this chapter by telling that, oh Arjuna, the previous chapter, 6th chapter is termed variously, Dhyana Yogam in some places, in some other places, different name, Shankara gives a very different name. So it speaks about Yogam, or how to control the mind. Yato yato nishcharali manas chanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyedat atmanyeva vashamnahi. To Arjuna, whenever the mind moves away from the, like if it's fluctuating, then pull it back onto the self. We are sitting, like we go to a lecture hall and we sit there, like the professor is giving a lecture, and in between like we see we turn here there because our neck is paining, so we just turn and we see a beautiful flower and we get distracted. So for a couple of minutes we see the beautiful flower and then all of a sudden we remember, oh, I am in the lecture hall, pull it back, we'll go back. Again, like we will see, again pull it back, again pull it back. So whenever yato yato nischarati manaha chanchalam astiram, chanchalam astiram, chanchalam, chanchalam means very fluctuating, chanchalam means highly, it's not volatile, it's not the right word, highly
flickering,
not flickering, it has to be
unstable.
Else, no, unstable is astiram, astiram means unstable. So both, there should be meaning for both the words, chanchalam and astiram, both have to have make sense, else why would, else it would be something like, oh, why repetition, repetition is a fault in Vedanta. So chanchalam means movement,
fickle minded,
yeah. So chanchalam is with respect to movement, like as from Swami Vivekananda is a drunken monkey, so moving from one branch to another branch, that is chanchalam. Astiram is never sticking on to that. So the both the words, like with one word we cannot say it, one way of telling is it is always moving and it's not stable. It's two different perspectives of the same thing. So chanchalam astiram, tata whenever the mind moves away, tata tato niyamye, that control it and bring it back onto the self. So without that control of the mind, we cannot see Advaitam internally. So what would happen is, Shrini is Brahman. So Shrini will be Brahman until he starts sleeping. When he starts sleeping, what the hell are you doing? So Shrini will be, cease to be Brahman if the mind is not strong. I'm just joking. Then. You can sleep. I'll be happy. At least one person less to care about. Caring at all. Yeah, so what if the mind is not strong enough, if the mind hasn't been like controlled and focused through sadhana and other ways, like vision of oneness, seeing, controlling, trying to control the mind, seeing oneness is one of the ways of controlling the mind. Patanjali also says the same thing for controlling the mind. He says, Eka Tattva Abhyasam, he says, Tat Pratishedhatam Eka Tattva Abhyasaha, he says about nine faults of the mind. We won't go into, get into the faults, like it, laziness, this, that and all. Tat Pratishedhatam, in order to fix the mind onto one thing, Eka Tattva Abhyasam, Eka Tattva Abhyasam, seeing oneness, he also says that. That is one of the ways. So unless the mind is strong, has been controlled, we cannot merge Dvaitam into Advaitam. So in the very first shloka itself, Krishna says, Maya Sakta Mana Partha,
Maya Sakta Mana Partha,
Yogam Yunjan Madashrayaha,
Yogam Yunjan Madashrayaha,
Asamshayam samagram maam,
Asamshayam samagram maam,
Yathanyasasi tat shrunu,
Yathanyasasi tat shrunu,
Maya sakta mana partha,
Maya sakta mana partha,
Yogam yunjan madashrayah,
Yogam yunjan madashrayah,
Asamshayam samagram maam,
Asamshayam samagram maam,
Yathanyasasi tat shrunu,
Yathanyasasi tat shrunu.
So mai asakta manaha partha, o partha, mai asakta manaha, mai asakta, asakti means like attachment, strong attachment. So mai asakta manaha, mind which is deeply attracted or attached to me, mai asakta manaha partha, yogam yunjan. So that mind which is attracted and attached to me, yogam yunjan, practice yogam, madashrayaha, on the basis of me, depending on me, because I am the basis for everything. So depending on me, like that mind which is attached to me, depending on me and the mind which is attached to me, practice yogam. And when you practice yogam, after you practice yogam, that means oneness, seeing oneness is a part of yogam. But as I said earlier, we can see oneness everywhere, but like we may miss to put ourselves in the oneness, as well as we can also see a dog in the entire world. So seeing a dog in the entire world is different from seeing a form of Ishvara. We already discussed that in the 12th chapter. Whenever we are, that's not bhakti. We may say vision of oneness is bhakti, but vision of oneness, I see dog everywhere. That is not vision of oneness. Vision of oneness, real vision of oneness, which is yoga, is about seeing a particular form, remembering that form to be Brahman. So if we see the dog everywhere, oh, these three people are dogs. Okay. Don't complain. Okay, these three people are dogs, but I know that what I mean by dog is just a form for Brahman. Yeah, dog with a tail, dog with no tail. So I can think like that. So dog as Brahman is very essential. So that is required. So seeing oneness is one aspect of it. The second aspect is that oneness, or whatever that one entity we are seeing, that has to be merged onto Brahman. So after you have practiced yogam, asamshayam samagram mam yata nyasyasi. Yata nyasyasi. Yata, in whatever way, mam nyasyasi, you can know me as Nirguna Brahman, that Brahman which I am giver Anandam. So we should never, when we are learning Vedanta, when we go to Mahatmas like Amma, each and every minute we have to pull our mind back on to the real fruit, which is moksha, is one way of putting it. But moksha is something like, some people are very afraid of moksha. One second is moksha is something very high, so we may think moksha, no, for me many more words. So we have to understand that moksha is anandam. So that bliss has to be always there in the seeker's mind, because that is the goal that is to be achieved. So mam means Nirguna Brahman, which is Sachidananda Swarupa Brahman, that Brahman, Ananda Rupa Brahman, Nyasyasi, like you can know me. So in whatever way, like through yogam, after you have attained yogam, means control of the mind, how you can know me, Tat Shrunu, listen to that. And then Krishna obviously is a perfectionist, like Amir Khan or Tom Hanks are with movies. Or A.R. Rahman, I don't know whether he is a perfectionist. So, jokes aside, so Krishna is a perfectionist. So he uses two words there. Asamshayam, Samagram. So it's not just knowledge. Don't think it is just knowledge. Oh, knowledge. Why do I need to get knowledge from you? Like I can go to Hariram and listen to him. So people might think, oh, I don't need Krishna. I can go to this person. I can listen to Amrita Swarupananda. I can listen to Amma. Amma is different, Amsurubanda is also different, but still Krishna is something really different, because he is the basis, like as he says, I am the basis, Madhashraya, I am the basis for everything. So everybody, like whoever is learning Vedanta, they have to go through me. So if somebody thinks, oh, I don't need Gita, Gita is just a waste, I'll learn Brahma Sutra, then we know what happened with Brahma Sutra. People will start sleeping. So Gita, without Gita, we cannot cross over, or we cannot get moksha without learning Gita. So Krishna knows that, therefore he doesn't want people to later complain as well. So he says asamshayam samagram, not just knowing me, but knowing me asamshayam, doubtless, without any doubt, asamshayam samagram. Samagram means completely. So doubtless and complete. So doubtless knowledge, doubtless means doubt. You will know me without doubt, mean in the mind there will be no doubt. In the mind and the intellect there will be no doubt as to what is Brahman. So like if we go to Amrita Swarupananda or Balakrishna Nair and they come up in the middle of the night and ask, oh, tell me what is real. And they'll say, oh, real. There is only one thing real. You can go home now. That is real now. So it's only Anandam. So that is the only thing which will come. So that truth, doubtless, not even like 1 minute a person will doubt. And it's not about doubting just Brahman, but doubting the nature of Brahman. What is the nature of Brahman? Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. That means any minute we see water in desert, there is no water. That is doubtless. So I know there is no water. That is a conviction. So that is doubtless. Asamshayam and samagram. Samagram means completely. So many darshanas, philosophies, including the Jains, consider that reality has multiple faces. It's like an elephant. Some people just find 4 or 5 blind men heard that there is some new object that has come. So it's an elephant. So they went to analyze or research it. So one person touched its legs. So he said, okay, this is very, wooden, like wood, very strong. Another person touched the tail. So he said, it's hairy. And another person touched the tusk and he said, it's very sharp. So it's the same elephant, but different people see it differently. So reality has multiple faces. So here multiple faces or samagram, complete, holistic knowledge of the world, knowledge of Brahman, means that the 3 aspects that we very well know, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Jivo Brahma Iva Naparah. So that's where Ishvaro Guru Atmeti. So that, ideally speaking, there are 3 things. It's not Ishvaro Guru Atmeti, that shloka is not apt there. But when a person starts in Vedanta, there are 3 entities to deal with. Vedanta, any system of Vedanta, whether it is Dvaita Vedanta or Vishishta Dvaita or Advaita, has to deal with 3 things. So one is, of course, Ishvara or Brahman. The second is Prapancham. And the third is me. So these 3 are there. So holistic or complete knowledge means, what is Ishvara? What is Brahman? Brahma Satyam. What is the world? Jagan Mithya. Who am I? Jivo Brahma Iva Naparah. So all these 3 aspects I'll explain to you. So initially itself Krishna explains it. Somehow he doesn't go till the end. So he says Brahma Satyam, obviously we know as to what is real. Nobody needs to know Krishna didn't mention that Brahman is real. There's no need at all. Brahman alone is real. So that's kind of implicit or explicit? Implicit. It's implicit. So he doesn't have to mention it. Second aspect is Jagat. Jagat Mithya. Jagat Mithya itself means Mithya Jagat Adhishthanam. That means everything, if everything is Brahman, if we prove everything is Brahman, Jagat becomes Mithya automatically. So that Krishna starts. So in the 4th shloka, 4th and 5th shloka, Krishna starts explaining as to there are 2 prakriti. One is higher nature, lower nature. So the Jiva and Jagat, sort of Prakriti Jagat or Maya Jagat. So there he differentiates the next 2 entities, Jagat and Jiva. And then he goes on to say everything, the entire Jagat is me, I only. So Jagan Mithya is proved. And then later he says about different bhaktas and finally says Jnani Bhakta is me alone. So that means there are different types of bhaktas, but those bhaktas will progress from one level to another. A bhakta cannot always be arti or artharti. A jijnyasu, we are learners, but we cannot remain learners forever. There will be a time when we will learn, we will become jnani. There is no doubt in that. It has to happen only when. So don't ask tomorrow, you said I will become a jnani when I haven't become a jnani now. So don't complain, time will depend, but person has to progress. So we can't, as Paramatma says, nobody can say, I like 5th standard, the teacher is really good, so I'll stay in the 5th standard itself. I won't grow, I won't cross to the next level, I don't want 6th. So we can't do that, you'll be thrown out. You'll be forced to take the 6th standard. So a person has to progress. So that means Jagan Mithya and the Jiva. Jiva is also Brahman. As Jiva progresses to become a Jnani, he becomes Brahman. So that step also we will discuss in earlier. But Jiva is per se abhakta. There is no word abhakta, but I am my own creation. Not bhakta, na bhakta. A person is not a devotee. That means he doesn't recognize Ishvara. So atheist, do you mean atheist? No. People who don't know Ishvara, people who don't know such an Ishvara who is all pervasive excess, are not bhaktas. That means somebody goes to the temple but they think that the Ishvara is just there. They just like when you ask, are you coming with me? Like where? I'm going to Kailas. Oh no, there is no Vishnu there, so I'm not interested. I don't want to come. That is not a bhakta. The bhakta is one who acknowledges Ishvara as all pervasive, that means creator of the world. But in all pervasive, do people understand? Okay, then creator of the world, that is also fine. So, do a bhakta and then become a bhakta, and in a bhakta, artha, artha, arti, and then he becomes jijnyasu, learner of knowledge, I want moksha, and then he becomes a bhakta. So, that aspect, jivo brahmeva naparaha, has also been brought out by Krishna. So that means asamshayam, doubtless means Krishna will give lot of logic. Logic means simple examples, not logic like, oh, this tarkam, that tarkam. No, Shrini will sleep then surely. No, I'm just joking, I'm just joking. Yeah. So all those tarka, like, she will start blinking. So blinking will not help, so it's not required, don't worry. Krishna will give only analogies, kind of comparisons to show us, not very tough logic and all, simple logics. So asamshayam, doubtless in the mind and intellect, and samagram, all aspects. What does samagram mean? Can you explain on asamshayam, samagram? Arjuna is like us, so he's not that good in his intellect. Though he says he has done yoga, he's like us, he's not done yoga. He just claims he has done yoga, so he hasn't done yoga. So whatever Krishna said, the prerequisite, that is not there. So Krishna anticipates Arjuna's doubt. Can you explain asamshayam samagram? So don't ask me, oh, Krishna is already explaining second shloka. Why did you waste 10 minutes explaining asamshayam and samagram? That is fine. Time is always there to be wasted. So the next shloka, Krishna answers this question as to what is asamshayam and samagram. And also the very basic question of any seeker, okay, maam nyasyasi, you will know me. What is the point of knowing you? You will know me asamshayam and samagram. What is the point of asamshayam and samagram? Because what I need is perfection, completeness, purnam, that is ananda. Okay, don't get confused. All these terms will always be coming. Like when we are discussing, these terms will come. Purnam, anandam, moksha, santosham, contentment, peace, bliss. All these are the synonyms. Okay, they are not synonyms in English or Sanskrit, but they mean exactly the same thing. So, what like will I get by knowing you completely? And doubtless, I'll not get anything. So, Krishna anticipates that as well. So, two things. One is, knowing me, what me? Will that benefit all seekers? Okay, will that just benefit the four of us, or will it benefit whoever is coming in the future, whoever has come, everything? So will it, is it like, it can it be generalized? That is one thing. So will it really benefit me? And the second is asamshayam samagram, how? So that Krishna explains in the second shloka. Jnanam deham savijnanam.
Jnanam deham savijnanam.
Idam vakshyamya sheshatah.
Idam vakshyamya sheshatah.
Yajnyatva neha bhuyonyat.
Yajnyatva neha bhuyonyat.
Jnatavyam avashishyate.
Jnatavyam avashishyate.
Jnanam deham savijnanam.
Jnanam deham savijnanam.
idam vakshyamya sheshatah yajnyatva neha bhuyo anyat
yajnyatva neha bhuyo
anyat
yajnyatva neha bhuyo anyat
ज्ञातव्यम् अवशिष्यते
ज्ञातव्यम् अवशिष्यते.
So Krishna knows that, okay, what is the purpose of knowing you? So Krishna says, Krishna is giving a concept which we know, like Amma as well as Ramakrishna Paramahamsa as have, what is the right word, eternalized, what do you call, yeah, forget it. They have made it like so popular. It is jnanam and vijnanam. So what is the difference between jnanam and vijnanam? So then why does Shankara always say about jnanam? So whenever Shankara says Brahmatmaike jnanam, 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 jnanam vina, without jnanam you can't get Brahmatmaike jnanam, there itself vijnanam is also there. So jnanam and vijnanam. So what is jnanam and vijnanam? So jnanam is can call science or just knowledge, and vijnanam is wisdom. So wisdom is different from knowledge. So knowledge, I know that like drinking this or drinking this this substance with gas will quench my thirst, that is knowledge. But do I really know that it will? It is just a theory. So theoretical knowledge or paroksha jnanam is jnanam, vijnanam is aparoksha, direct experience. So jnanam is just theory, whereas vijnanam is practice or experience. So I know about this, but somebody else can say, oh, I have drunk this, oh, that's good, that will pinch your thirst, definitely it will, but it will add a little bit gas trouble as well, so that is, so don't ask about that. So jnanam and vijnanam, just knowing something and really experiencing. It is when we experience, that is when we really get the benefit out of knowledge. So that is jnanam and vijnanam. So in Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's word, some people have heard milk, some people have seen milk, some people have drank milk. So hearing or seeing is just jnanam. They don't know what it is exactly. They know, but they don't know. Vijnana means people who have drank milk. They know for sure what is milk. And in Amma's words, honey, like writing in a paper, honey, that is jnanam, whereas tasting honey is vijnanam. So with knowledge and vijnanam, jnanam and vijnanam, that means jnanam about Nirguna Brahman, about the three aspects of Nirguna Brahman. It's not just theoretical knowledge like, oh, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Vinapara. It's not that. Direct experience of that. So, jnanam and vijnanam. So, jnanam teham savijnanam idham. Oh, Arjuna, jnanam te. Te means for you, aham. I, jnanam savijnanam idham. Jnanam along with vijnanam idham. Here, vakshyami, I'll tell you, asheshataha, I'll tell you everything about jnanam and vijnanam, asheshataha, with not leaving anything. So don't think I'll hide something. If I think that you are definitely doing something wrong, if you are blinking your eyes is irritating, then I'll definitely tell, okay, Krishna won't tell like that, he's not like me. He sees oneness everywhere, so he'll say, oh, your eyes are really twinkling, very good. So, jnanam deham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshataha, without any leftovers or without wailing or hiding something, I'll tell you with completely, I'll tell you. Oh, what is the point of that knowledge? So, jnanam savijnanam, along with that, yad jnatva, having known what, having known this jnanam and savijnanam that I am going to give you, Naiha bhuyo, again, na anyat jnatavyam, other thing avashishyate will not remain. So, after knowing this, there will be nothing else for you to know here. So this will make you complete, full. It will make you full. So Balakrishna says about asamshayam and samagram. So asamshayam, doubtless. Samagram means complete. So asheshataha means samagram, complete knowledge. And when Krishna says yajnatva neha bhuyo anyat jnatavyam avashishyate, that means there it is asamshayam. Why it is asamshayam? It is asamshayam not just because it is in the mind or intellect, but it is complete knowledge. It is, you have known everything. So where is asamshayam? There samshayam is only when two is there. So when there is Pepsi and Coke, I will have doubt about, okay, which to drink. When there is only Pepsi, then oh, there is no doubt at all. So asamshayam. So a complete knowledge. Knowledge, after knowing this, you, nothing else will remain. That explains asamshayam. And asheshataha means not leaving anything. It can be shifted as well. It might make sense. So we don't need to go into, oh, which word, oh, you said this, but asamshayam means asheshataha and samagram means complete knowledge. We can put shift that as well. What it means is Krishna is saying how asamshayam and samagram. Asamshayam means in the mind and intellect. When jnanam becomes vijnanam, the mind and intellect know. I know that this is good to drink because I have drank it. So then that there is no doubt about whether it is good or not. Asamshayam is there. Samagram, once I drink this, I know that this alone is good. Nothing else is good. It's nothing else at all. What about Pepsi, Coke and all? They are all just the same thing, put in different way, just some flavors. So you can say that. It's not a proper analogy, so pardon me. So asamshayam, samagram. And what is the benefit for me for knowing you in that way? Yajnatva neha bhuyo anyat jnatavyam avashishyate. Eka vijnane sarva vijnanam. Or as Mundaka Upanishad says, kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. Oh Lord, tell me as to by knowing what I'll know everything. That is Brahman is everything is Brahman. Brahma vid brahmaiva bhavati. When you know Brahman, you become Brahman. So you know everything. So that knowledge about everything, then it is knowledge about world as well. Because earlier as we said, world, analyzing the world, knowing the nature of world is also important because we care about the world. But when we get this jnanam and vijnanam, we know the entire world as well. When we know, that knowledge is very strong, very powerful, that we'll become like king. We'll not need anything else to know. So this is knowledge in the world. We depend on many things in the world. We care about the world because we don't know a lot of things. If imagine that we know whatever is there in the world, we know everything about it, then we will not care about the world. We'll know, oh, won't you still care about the car? Yes, but I'll not care about the car because I know, oh, this day, okay, 20 days, after that I have to give maintenance. I know. So if I know, then I'll not really care. So that is from the empirical viewpoint. From ultimate viewpoint, world is Brahman. It is just Namarupam. Namarupam is Mithya. Therefore, if everything is Brahman, then I don't need to know anything else. So this makes a person, this knowledge, Mam Nyasyasi, this is that knowledge which will make a person complete, means Purnam, which means it will give me Anandam. Basic, well, ultimate, not basic, but ultimate goal of life. So if that I get, then as Krishna says, asamshayam samagram. Or after knowing this, there will be nothing else remaining, nothing else to know. And, oh, that may be arthavadam. Paramartha says in many places arthavadam. This is not an arthavadam, as we will see in the, when we go through the next shlokas. We'll see, this chapter has around 28 or, if I am right, 28 or 32 or something, 30, around 30 shlokas, it's there. So if when we complete this chapter, we will come to know that Krishna is not telling something wrong. He is giving complete knowledge, after knowing which, nothing else will remain to be known. though he continues this in the next two chapters, so he doesn't finish here. He introduces new terms, and then in the 8th chapter and in the 9th chapter he again mentions the jnanam savijnanam idam vakshyami. He says almost a very very similar shloka, that after having this jnatva mokshasi, jnanam savijnanam idam, I forgot the shloka, I don't remember the exact shloka, but he says almost the same thing. So it gets continued for the next two chapters, but with this chapter, like the 8th chapter and 9th chapter, 8th chapter speaks about it basically speaks about after death and all, so it's not very essential. 9th chapter says exactly almost the same as what 7th chapter says. So when a person, when we complete this 7th chapter, though Krishna would have some questions raised, or some, Krishna would have set it so that like Arjuna will ask a few questions in the 8th chapter. That's how the entire Gita is structured. So that's the way a person teaches, like Krishna teaches, so that instigating or making Arjuna ask doubts. So giving Arjuna doubts so that the doubts can be removed. But with, you know, like when we complete 7th chapter, we will know that whatever Krishna is telling, after knowing this, there will be nothing else to know at all. That is, will be a fact.